Do you agree with the Prime Minister that it will smash the housing market? Or with Assistant Treasurer Kelly O'Dwyer that negative gearing is going to push housing prices up? Or do you agree with Treasurer Scott Morrison that negative gearing has helped Aussie battlers build financial security? Last week, Labor took the plunge and announced a new policy on negative gearing. From 2017, they want the policy to apply to new properties only, with no changes made to properties that are currently negatively geared. It's put the Turnbull government in a spin, with senior ministers seemingly unable to agree on what Labor's policy means. The coalition says their plan will include a cap on what investors can claim as a loss, but Greens Treasury spokesperson Adam Bandt says Turnbull is the tax tinkerer, not the tax reformer. On The Money Reporter, Taylor Schrader spoke to economist Steve Keen to find out his view. She started by asking him to explain exactly what negative gearing is.
Well, negative gearing is the ability to write off losses from your property holdings against your other income. So if you have an income of $100,000 a year, and that requires you to say, again, just for the sake of round figures, $40,000 a year in tax, and you've got a property which you paid $1 million for, and the rent on that's earning you $50,000, to make a $20,000 loss. You can write that $20,000 loss off against your income. So rather than having a taxable income of $100,000, you end up with a taxable income of $80,000, and you pay several thousand dollars less tax. So fundamentally, making a loss in your property portfolio was underwritten by the government.
So who would be the people that are using negative gearing as an investment strategy? Because the Liberal government's just come out and said that it's actually these mum and dad investors that are trying to use it. But is that true or not really?
If your mum and dad live in Vaucluse, then it's absolutely true. Okay, it's class-based. I mean, all this nonsense about it as being a way for poor people to get themselves under the ladder. No, it's a way for fairly wealthy people to climb further up the ladder by stepping on the toes of people who are paying rent to them. So when you do the demographic breakdown, when you take a look at it, over 80% of negative gearing gains go to people who are in the top 10% or thereabouts of the income profile. So it's overwhelming, something that benefits people who've already got money.
Is there any evidence that negative gearing has actually fueled property speculation and pushed housing prices up?
We don't have an alternative universe in which it wasn't done. When you look at the Australian situation versus elsewhere in the world, we've certainly massively encouraged property speculation versus genuine investment. So, and that consequently, our level of mortgage debt as a percentage of income is now the highest in the world. We were behind Netherlands, but hey, we've overtaken them and got gold in household leverage. And negative gearing has certainly paid a part in that. But the entire tax system in Australia has benefited towards favouring and actually promoting leverage speculation on property. So, the fact that when you pay taxes on capital gains, you pay tax at half the rate you pay on your income. So it's worth your while to, and you're actually being encouraged by the tax system, don't work, speculate. And negative gearing adds to that as well, because as well as paying half the tax on the income you make, if you make a loss, the government subsidises your loss. So it's all just to help pump money into the property market. And you get these usual arguments that it's all because of a lack of supply. Supply responds much more slowly than demand does. But of course, that means that if you have things like negative gearing, halving the rate of capital gains tax, the first home owners grant, which I used to call the first home vendors grant, when that existed, all those things pump up the demand side. If you have rigid supply, then just on the sort of standard economics 101 style thinking about supply and demand, that means you're going to get an increase in prices. So, the whole Australian system is geared towards driving prices up.
Labor is proposing $32 billion in new property taxes, which would include changes to negative gearing and the capital gains tax. What would happen if these changes were made, which only allow people to gear new houses or new property and only allow the government to grandfather existing properties?
That would have a reasonable impact in slowing down the bubble, because the argument was put forward to support negative gearing was it increases the supply of housing. Now, what has actually happened is that when negative gearing was first introduced, about 70% of investor funds went to build new properties. Now, less than 7% of investor money goes to build new properties. They buy existing ones. So rather than creating a supply of additional housing, negative gearing has actually encouraged people to gamble on the prices of existing properties. If you then restrict negative gearing so it only goes to a new property, then at least you stop that incredible flood of money into driving up existing prices and say, if you want to get negative gearing, you've got to build a new property. So it would be advantageous to do that.
And what does grandfathering an existing investment mean?
Well, you've got people who've taken an investment position based on exploiting advantageous terms in the tax code. And if you then suddenly change the rules so they can't take advantage of it, then they get screwed. And whether or not they might deserve to get screwed, of course, they scream politically that they were done in. You know, they evade the current rules and took advantage of them, and then you change the rules on us retrospectively. So grandfathering just means, okay, it only applies to anybody taking out a property investment from now on. So it would mean anybody who's currently got a property, an existing property they bought using negative gearing and then sells it, they still get the benefit of negative gearing. But from this date forward, anybody who takes out a property, buys an existing property rather than buying a new one, wouldn't get the advantage of negative gearing.
You're saying that by targeting only these new houses, these new properties that are coming through, is actually going to be more a sustainable option for housing prices and for people trying to actually buy houses in Australia. Yet the Property Council of Australia is really against these kinds of changes that Labor is proposing. They're actually saying that's going to hurt approximately 840,000 people who have incomes below $80,000 a year. Are they wrong?
What's the old saying from that Helen Keeler case? They would say that, wouldn't they? Their entire investment is on maintaining the level of property speculation in Australia. That's what they justified their existence. They're going to oppose it tooth and nail. And this is one of the times we're going to say, look, okay, thanks for objections. We're rolling over you anyway. Because the interests of those 800,000, how many young people are there in the country? I know these are young these days, I mean below 40, who can't afford to buy a house. They've got to be, you know, 8 million of them versus 800,000 who might lose out if negative gearing goes. It's about bloody time they lost out.
And so would you say that Australia does in fact have a negative gearing problem?
Absolutely. We have a problem where our entire tax scheme is biased towards encouraging speculation, not productive investment. And it's about time we got rid of it. Now, of course, getting rid of it will be extremely painful because if you do the wrong thing for a long time and then you try to reverse direction, it doesn't necessarily feel great when you do it. So there would be dramatic impact upon the level of money creation in the economy because a huge part of the vast majority of the money supply that's created these days is created to finance property speculation. If the demand from that goes, then the economy itself could suffer quite severely as well. So you have to compensate macroeconomically for the impact of taking away something like negative gearing. And unfortunately, I don't think the Australian government knows that that's the case or would do it properly. So there could be various negative consequences coming out of getting rid of a bad policy, which might lead to us reintroducing it and hanging on to it again. But it's a huge part of why we've simply wasted the whole boom in minerals exports to China on driving our house prices up rather than building the productive capacity to replace mineral exports when they start to tank, as of course they've already done.
That's Steve Keen, Head of Economics and Politics at Kingston Uni in the UK. He was speaking with Taylor Schrader.